SRN News, I'm John Scott. A measure of inflation closely tracked by the Federal Reserve remained high in March, likely reinforcing the Fed's reluctance to cut interest rates anytime soon. Prices rose 0.3% from February to March, the same as in the previous month, the third straight month that the index has run at a pace faster than is consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target. ExxonMobil's profit declined in its first quarter as natural gas prices fell and industry refining margins dropped. The energy company earned $8.22 billion, or $2.06 per share, for the first 3 months that ended March 31st. A year earlier, Exxon earned $11.43 billion. Stocks remain higher. The Dow is ahead 216 points, the NASDAQ adding 361. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wall now. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing. It's time to get your cooling system ready for the long, hot summer. Call today about the advantages of the Clark Club membership to be sure you're covered. Call 277-2125. Better call Clark. Alabama certification number 09098.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The weather news continues very good. Beautiful forecast right on through the weekend. For today, a nice warm day, high 86, mostly sunny, very mild overnight tonight. Periods of clouds at times, overnight low 64. Tomorrow and Sunday, a great weekend forecast. Lots of sunshine mixed in with some high clouds. Nice warm mid-80s here, 70s on the coast, 60s at night. Still dry and warm Monday with a high around 86. Good bit of sunshine with the risk of widely scattered storms holding off till Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The Z700 series is the star of Kubota's line of zero-turn mowers, and our special spring pricing makes it easier than ever to take one home today. Powering Alabama, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, here's today's top stories. Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed will be sworn in as president of the African American Mayors Association today. Reed currently serves as the organization's vice president. The mayor described his elevation to the new position as both an honor and a challenge. The ADOC has arrested a Kilby Correctional Facility prison guard. 45-year-old Tyree Lynette Hoyle is charged with using her position for personal gain and attempting to distribute drugs. Court filings indicate Hoyle accepted a Cash App payment, then attempted to deliver drugs and a cell phone to an inmate. The Alabama House passed HB 385, the Supplying Minors Bill, on Thursday. The bill would remove exceptions for public libraries from obscenity laws and subject them to prosecution for providing sexual material to minors. The bill now goes to the Alabama Senate. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
I'm with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Dot, spring is already here.
Oh, I'm so glad too. I'm tired of being cold. With spring, we're starting to bring out the wicker furniture. We are getting in the iron outdoor furniture and just a lot of things that's just going to brighten your day.
Now, if somebody needs some furniture for their home, you have a good selection, don't you?
If there's any furniture that you can't find anywhere else, come to Eastbrook because we have a wonderful selection of solid, good, heavy furniture at excellent prices. Actually, better than you're going to find anywhere else. Just come see us and walk around all three floors, and let's help you out to fill up those living rooms and dining rooms and bedrooms, because we've got it all.
Do you have any booth space available at this time?
I have booth space available, so come see us.
All right, give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6. Saturday is 9 until 6, and Sunday 12:30 to 4:30.
Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
The Health and Wealth Show. The Health and Wealth Show. The show so nice, we said it twice. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. The
Health. Make it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
After damning politicians uphill and down Dale for many years as rogues, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels, I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back. Second hour of News and Views on a Friday. Now, this person, or thank you to Becky Gerritsen for reaching out. We now have on the phone here Malia Stevens. She's a family therapist with Wellspring Christian Clinic in Birmingham, board member with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation there in Washington, D.C. Malia, welcome to the show. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, I'm great, Joey. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. So we've talked about this particular bill about having the filter. A porn filter just comes stock from the manufacturer. Give us the latest on where this is within the Alabama legislature.
Right. So this is, we're talking about HB 167, the Children's Device Protection Bill. We passed 98-0 in the House a few weeks ago, but it's been lagging in the Senate due to pressure from some special interest groups that really don't want to lose access to our children on commonly used devices, which is pretty concerning. But we've got a lot of pressure there, so we're hoping to get it through the Financial Responsibility and Economic Development Committee. We had a hearing this Wednesday, which was pretty intense but good, and they delayed the vote until next Wednesday. So I hope we'll have time to get it to the floor and see it pass. We know we've got the votes for it to pass if we can just get it on the floor of the Senate, and because this is what happened last year. It had strong bipartisan support. It made it all the way up until the last vote, and it was not permitted to be on the calendar.
So who are these groups pushing back? Because I'll tell you, Malia, I consider myself pretty libertarian. So we could probably have a very long conversation about obscenity laws when it comes to adults. And all the morality of that. But to me, it is not even a question that this is an obvious good way to go about protecting kids from this sort of vulgarity and smut.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple, straightforward request that existing filters that already are on all these devices, and they actually work really well, that they would just be a software update that they're activated on for smartphones and tablets. That's the most commonly used device for young kids, and that's where we know, according to research, that they tend to have accidental exposure to pornography. But the people who push back ultimately are the pornography industry and big tech. Big tech and the pornography industry often work arm in arm in different ways to thwart these types of efforts. And big tech doesn't want to lose data collection. And then the pornography industry really does want to hook our kids as early as possible. It sounds extremely sinister, and unfortunately that is the truth of how they operate. So that is who tends to be pushing the hardest, but they come behind other organizations, and because we have some big tech corporations that are now in Alabama, they seem to be working through the BCA, and this most recent hearing, they looped in the Commerce Department, which was a first, because we've been through several hearings, and we're used to telecommunications companies being a front for these other entities, but they weren't there this time. It was the BCA and Commerce Department.
Well, that's awful to hear, because this, again, should be an obvious law. There's a reason, I'll put it this way, that it passed 98-0 in the House.
Right.
This seems
right.
pretty obvious to me. So what do you think the chances are, given these forces trying to keep this off the law books here in Alabama?
Well, it depends on if our Senate leadership listens to the pressure from the BCA or if they listen to citizens, because we have hundreds, if not thousands, of families and parents from across the state, bipartisan, calling in, emailing. They keep up with me. I get floods of text every day. Where are we? What's happening? And they call into the offices of the senators and things like that. But they're hearing from citizens, but they're feeling the pressure from the BCA, which is very concerning, because I don't think these voices really represent the true small business leaders of Alabama. I think it's really just these big guerrilla size entities that are throwing their weight around, and it's influencing and shaping our culture. It's sad. This bill actually passed unanimously in Utah a few weeks ago, so they're going to have to enact this in Utah. We know these companies can do this. It's just, who are they going to prioritize, children or profit from companies?
Well, and I've always thought of, say, obscenity online and the worst things people can possibly imagine. Seemed to me be more a technological matter. And that's why when I saw this bill, it made a lot of sense that it's a sort of cat and mouse game in terms of technology. And to know that mm-hmm. these companies do have the tech to protect kids and yet are just refusing to put this stock mm-hmm. and put this in place. You used the word earlier, sinister. And what can folks do if they're hearing this conversation? Who should the people here in Alabama call?
They should call Senator Greg Reed, who's the President Pro Tem of the Senate, who sets the calendar, as well as Jabbo Wagner sets the calendar. That will be the final step for it to get to the floor, to make their voices heard that they want to see this pass. And they could also, if they're connected to the Business Council of Alabama, and they disagree with the Business Council taking this position, it would be fantastic if they could make their voices heard with the Business Council to say, this is not how we want to see things run in Alabama.
Well, and before I let you go, tell me a little bit more about, in particular, what you're doing there at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation and about that center there, what y'all are trying to accomplish around the nation.
Certainly. So the National Center on Sexual Exploitation has been around for a while. We fight all forms of sexual exploitation, from illegal pornography to sex trafficking and everything in between. It tends to be one big industry in terms of the way they interact and feed each other. And I got involved because, as a family therapist who really specializes with adults, I was seeing children who were addicted to pornography coming from really strong families in Alabama. But after just a few exposures, it had hijacked the frontal lobe of their brain. They were acting out sexually on other kids. And I was waking up to the impact that it has on the developing brain of a child. At the same time, I was working with sex trafficking survivors, two of whom had been forced to create pornography. So I started becoming involved in raising awareness and became a part of on the board for now since 2013. And they have the National Center on Sexual Exploitation is really like the tip of the spear mm-hmm. in terms of a global movement. And we fight the social media companies where I don't know if you saw the U.S. Senate hearing a few weeks ago where senators grilled the CEOs of social media companies about the fact that they were profiting off of child sexual abuse and pedophilia rings and things of that nature. That was our group was a large part of pulling that together and getting survivors there. We fight illegal pornography, and really our Department of Justice, if they enforced existing federal obscenity laws, you would not have hardcore pornography on the internet. You wouldn't have it even produced in the United States because it's not protected free speech. But because we don't have a good Department of Justice in operation right now, we're having, or at least, people who are willing to do that work. We have to do this at the state level, so we're doing a lot of state level legislative efforts, and then we do a lot of things to help victims of sex trafficking. We have a law center. There's just so much. People are welcome to go to our website, which is endsexualexploitation.org, and we'd love for them to get involved and help us out.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I believe in liberty fully, but I think it has to go hand in hand with liberty. What is moral? What is actually good for people? And what are your thoughts on seeing this, it seems we've gone very wrong with the sexual revolution, number one, that came out during the 60s. And for all sorts of reasons, and like, for instance, Harvey Weinstein was in the news again, and you see more and more of those stories, especially in the high ends of industry, especially the entertainment industry. But what about this trend of young women who are, and it's young men too, but who are jumping onto things like OnlyFans, where you're almost seeing social media become explicitly about exposing yourself online?
Yes. Well, that's unfortunately what we're going to have more and more as a result of kids being raised on today's mainstream pornography, which is graphic, it's rape-themed, child incest-themed, racist-themed material. They're getting inundated with it. It is setting up this normalization of very deviant behavior and very exploitative behavior, and it's really socializing them to think this is normal. They don't understand what healthy intimacy is because we're giving them sex miseducation through this illegal material. And that's why you see, I don't know if you've noticed in the news, there's a lot more, this is what I think, this is my personal opinion, and sure, not necessarily a national center, but I don't know if you've seen where a lot of the teachers, female teachers, are raping or, you know, and sexually violating young boys. Yep. I don't know if you've seen that in the news a lot more.
Yes.
And people are like, what is this about? And I know from perhaps working with some of these types of people on occasion that a lot of that does have to go back to pornography, because you're consuming child-themed pornography, and it sets up this pedophilic interest and fetish. And so we're going to have more and more of deterioration of our society if we don't get a handle on this. And I think it's unfortunate that most people think that hardcore pornography is just a normal form of entertainment, but the laws on the books say that it's not protected speech. Only softcore porn is protected speech, and it's really only supposed to be available in restricted adult bookstores and adult-oriented businesses that are legal. And that used to be the case up until a few years ago, well, really about 15 to 20 years ago, when the DOJ stopped doing their job. But so now we've got normalization of all these things that are so destructive to our brain, our relationships, and society at large.
Is it just a matter that the DOJ dropped the ball here? Or was there a Supreme Court case that's holding precedent right now? Like, how did this come about?
No. So what happened was, we used to have a very robust obscenity section in the DOJ under Reagan and Bush Sr. And some work prior to that. And we were very effective at keeping the pornographers at bay, where they were not allowed to just do whatever they wanted. And then under... when John Ashcroft was the attorney general, he decided to take his hand off the obscenity section and turn to other things. And he was overtly warned, if you do this, obscenity is going to explode. You can't let that department grow weak. But he didn't listen, didn't heed that advice. And so after him, there was a weakening of that enforcement. And then which got weaker under Clinton and George Bush, George W. Bush. And then with Obama, when he got into office, Eric Holder in the first couple of weeks dismantled the obscenity section of the DOJ.
Hmm. Thank you for all this information. But so under obscenity, is it just sexual stuff, or does it also include other forms of obscenity?
I think it includes other forms of obscenity, too, as far as behavior, and like maybe lewd and lascivious. I'm not the legal expert on that. Sure. I'm more so on understanding the definitions of what constitutes obscenity as far as hardcore pornography. But
How do they make that distinction?
There's actually obscenity is a legal term, and it refers, typically what it would refer to is any softcore porn, is anything kind of waist up porn that you think of from the old, you know, Playboys of the magazines of the 60s and 70s, things like that, which is bad enough, but that's softcore porn, which is permitted in certain spaces. But hardcore pornography is anything that elicits a certain sexual response, and that is basically showing sexual acts, showing genitalia, and anything beyond that is considered hardcore pornography. And because I'm unfortunately so familiar with how this industry operates, so much of what you see in hardcore pornography, the people that are in it are not there willingly. They may look like they are there by choice. Even with some of the OnlyFans cases, we found out now that a lot of them have been exploited. They were forced to do what they do. They didn't keep the money, and it wasn't really them pulling the strings. And So it's really a big industry of exploitation. But yeah, so that's kind of the distinction. There's a community standard that a jury would decide. So for example, if we wanted to, someone was selling pornographic material in their store or something where kids could access it, and we wanted to take them to court, and we could hold it up before a jury and say, does this fit this particular definition? There's a legal definition of obscenity. And then the jury could say, yes, that fits the definition. And that's kind of how you enforce the law.
Okay, so there is some play in the joints there, and that does make sense. That makes sense. Well, I really do appreciate all the information you've given us in this conversation, and also telling us about this law here in Alabama. And I would encourage folks to go call Pro Tem Reed's office, and let's make sure this is on the calendar in these last few days of the session.
Thank you so much, Joey. I appreciate your support. And yeah, anything they can do for it with Senator Reed and with the BCA, just to let them know the families really in Alabama do care about the kids and want to see them protected. That'd be great.
Well, thank you, Malia. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
272-9228 if you want to get in on the program. It's 272-9228. And I did appreciate that conversation, because my instinct is obscenity laws give license to certain people in the government to go after all sorts of things they would call lewd and obscene. But I cannot deny my eyes and my brain when I see where the culture has gone.
Right. Yeah.
And so you're like, well, it's, at least let's have more conversations. You know, it's one podcast I usually cannot stand, but I have gone down the rabbit hole sometimes. It's that whatever podcast, where the guy, usually it's a very conservative guy, and they'll have somebody like Charlie Kirk or Michael Knowles on there with the main host, and then it's usually a bunch of OnlyFans girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of those.
And those conversations are kind of eye-opening, because you'll see somebody who's like a porn star doing OnlyFans, and as soon as they're just asked basic questions by, say, folks who have matured into their 30s, you can tell, oh, this is an 18-year-old kid.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's eye-opening, folks. And I'm not necessarily saying go watch all 4 hours of one of these shows. But it's kind of cringeworthy.
It's really evident. Yeah. It was like the worst thing back in the day. The worst thing you could do was get a tattoo when you're 18. Now it's like you can have pictures of your lower extremities and all sorts of fashions posted on the internet for the rest of your life. Like, that's a tattoo that really doesn't go away.
Right. Right. So, well, we'll see. That conversation ain't going anywhere anytime soon. But how about this? Let's hit a break. But first, this part of the program brought to you by River Region Contracting. You know, when you got a home, what's the most important thing? Well, foundation's pretty important.
Pretty important.
But how about the thing on top?
Keeping the rain out. How about
your roof? Yeah. Keeps it actually sealed up.
Keep the weather out, man.
So whether you have an asphalt or metal roof, and I learned this from River Region Contracting, you should get preventative maintenance done every few years. But Eddie and I have been suggesting, do it every year?
Yeah.
Do it on an annual basis.
Well, you got great folks that are willing to do it for free. Why wouldn't you do it? And you can trust them. And when they give you an estimate, it's an honest estimate, and it's been accurate every time I've used
it. Well, now the work costs something at the end of the day, but the inspection
is
free.
Inspection is free, 100%.
So you might as well get the inspection done annually. And then the estimate, if they do find a problem, is free.
Yep.
And then they're also insurance specialists, right?
100%. They've helped out 3 or 4 of my clients off the top of my head.
And you've used them personally, too.
I use them every time.
And they're awesome over there at River Region Contracting. There's a reason many call them the premier roofing contractor in this area. So call Todd Clark and his team today, 356-8635. That's 356-8635. And be sure to tell them that, Joey and Eddie, those fellas on the radio, sent you.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Fresh deals, fresh inventory. Spring savings have sprung at Toyota of Montgomery. And we have a fresh new inventory of the new Toyotas you've been looking for. Take that spring trip in style, comfort, safety, and peace of mind in our huge selection of trucks, SUVs, and sedans. Drive the new 20
2024 Camry LE and lease for $299 a month. Or get low 3.99% APR financing. Spring out of your old car and into a new Toyota. And get up to $2,000 over book value for your trade. Or check out our fresh new inventory of certified pre-owned Toyotas that look, drive, and even smell brand new. Just don't wait. Spring offers end soon at Toyota Montgomery. Online at toyotamontgomery.com. Part of the Sutherland Automotive Group.
3.99% APR financing for 36 months is $2,953 for 1,000 finance. MSRP, $30,958, 12,000 miles per year for 36 month lease with $3,638 due to finance. $0 security deposit with approved credit. Excessive wear, tear, and mileage may affect trade value. Plus tax, tag, title, and 995.fee. Expires 4/30/24.
Come see how you can drive a new Lexus from Lexus of Montgomery today. Drive the new 2024 Lexus ES350, now only $353 a month. Or choose the new 2023 Lexus RZ450E for only $399 a month. You can drive a new Lexus today. Visit Lexus of Montgomery, part of the Sutherland Automotive Group.
VIN number RU177074, $4,995 due and signed. VIN number P800214, $3,700 due and signed. 36 months, 10K mile lease with approved credit, plus tax, tag, title, duck fee.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama Values.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Clark. Welcome back. The News and Views on a Friday. Sorry to get so serious there, but it's a very real topic that is, the clock is ticking here in Alabama on getting that law implemented. I think it's a pretty common sense one, though. Did you see this story? I've got it pulled up on the screen in front of you, Craig. The black athletic director arrested for using AI audio to frame white principal with racist rant.
Oh.
Yeah, like, I saw this morning, and now what we'll do here, folks, Eddie, did you see this?
No, I did not.
That this black athletic director used AI voice cloning to frame a white principal, having him voice essentially an AI-created racist rant to get the guy fired.
Dude.
So, apparently, I haven't listened to this thing in full. If it's really, really bad, we'll obviously have to dump out of it.
It's not the B. I think they probably have it censored.
Right. So, let's listen into some of this. I think the audio is right here. Says language. Not graphic language. Not obscene language. Just language.
Language.
What kind of warning is that? Anyway, this is Baltimore County Public Schools. They're investigating the principal at Pikesville High for alleged derogatory remarks about students and staff. A voice believed to be the principal could be heard ranting about black students and Jewish families. Turns out, folks, this audio we're about to play, the way it was characterized, this is all fake. This is AI created.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
That is. Yeah. If you would have given me that, not told me anything about the backstory, I'd have been like, ooh, that guy's in trouble. I wouldn't have thought AI ever at all.
Well, yeah, if I had heard that, I'd be like, yeah, fire him. Like, if he said that, fire him.
Oh, my gosh. But so how did they prove it?
The police investigated, apparently, and found that this was AI generated.
Because, you know, we were talking about that as far as the face swaps coming up. That was going to be a big thing. Because soon you're not going to be able to believe what you see. But I didn't even consider The Voice.
Wow.
And so, of course, all sorts of people, former students, are coming out saying he should be fired, he should be fired. But it was all fake. Turns out that the former athletic director, who is black, has been arrested now.
Man, that is wow.
Baltimore County Police arrested him Thursday morning, charged him with using AI to impersonate the principal. Wow. Does Han Darian, who's 31, apprehended as he attempted to board a flight?
I bet.
Wow. You got to watch out, folks. Like, this is, you know, we were thinking high-stakes stuff, like high-stakes political races.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could happen every day now.
What about that principal? If you're like, dude, it wasn't me.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is you. This is your voice.
And Joey, you're screwed, man.
I know.
With the amount of audio of everything. You that's out there, right. they could make
actually,
you
actually, it's a way for me to commit a perfect crime. You know how to do that? You can either you kill somebody you don't know and you don't tell anybody else you did it. A lot of people get away with that.
Yeah.
But the other way to do the perfect crime is you do it in a place that's so polluted by evidence. So yes. Everybody's fingerprints are on it.
Yeah.
So you throw so much junk out there. And I actually think that's where perfect crimes are going.
Yeah.
That people are going to just throw out so much BS. Governments do this.
Yeah.
Like conspiracy theory stuff, a lot of that's probably produced by the agency and whatnot. I think that's exactly where we're going.
It's like that movie, The Town, whenever they finish robbing a bank, and they went and got hair. They swept up the hair from a bunch of different barbershops, mm-hmm. and they just threw it all over the getaway car. So it's like, hey, find whatever DNA you want.
Good luck.
So he hasn't been working there, the principal, ever since this was put out there.
Man.
It's unclear if he was suspended with or without pay.
But without pay, I bet.
Jay Moore, a Jewish outlet in Baltimore, last March, AI experts told the Banner that the audio was mostly likely fake, citing its flat quality and lack of consistent breathing sounds. From the beginning of this incident, the recording seemed odd and suspicious, the executive director of the Baltimore Jewish Council said. He said this was why his agency held off on issuing any initial comment. Well, good on them.
Good on them. Man.
So here's more details on this criminal genius's attempt to commit cybercrime. During an interview with detectives, Darian admitted to having issues with the principal since he was employed. Darian also confessed to sending the recording from his work email to someone he shouldn't have, but denied knowing a TJ Faust or having any further involvement in creating or disseminating the clip. However, police found Darian's phone number listed as the recovery contact for TJ Faust's account. So, no criminal genius by any means.
No, not at all.
School tech staff also noticed Darian used their network on three separate occasions to search the internet for open AI tools. Okay. Well, there you go.
It's kind of like when the husband or the wife gets, one of them goes missing, and they go back and they look at the husband or wife's bank records. And yeah, they went to Home Depot, they bought trash bags, they bought duct tape, they bought zip ties.
Right.
Why did you need three shovels and four 400 pounds of lye?
Right.
Got a garden. Why do you got pigs in your backyard? Yeah. But Scott,
feed them to pigs.
But
they will go through bone like butter. Hence the term, as greedy as a pig.
Man, sorry. Guy Ritchie's really gone downhill since those days.
So he needs to go back to where he came from. He's trying to do this artsy stuff in real life. It just doesn't work.
Because there was a first movie, like Snatch.
Lock, Stock.
Have Netflix. I watched The Gentleman, a Guy Ritchie production deal. That was really good.
It was good.
It was all right.
The Gentleman was all right. I didn't see the show, but I did see the film. The movie was good. Got Matthew McConaughey, Colin Farrell, and all that.
Well, I checked that out.
When he did Aladdin, that was a turd.
Yes.
And then he did that movie, that Jake Gyllenhaal movie about the guy going back to get his buddy from Afghanistan, which is a good story. It's just, it'd be like Quentin Tarantino trying to make like I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. It just doesn't work.
And didn't he try to do like a King Arthur remake?
Oh, that was garbage.
Just garbage. Yeah. Yeah, feed that to a pig.
Yeah, when he tries, you really found a niche, which was this British, he was almost like the British Tarantino. That's what he was.
Yeah. Right.
And he just got away from it. It's like, dude, stay true to the girl that you came to the dance with is fat, you still got to dance with her.
Oh, and didn't he also do the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes? Yeah, I think he directed that.
Was that him?
I think it was.
See, those weren't bad.
It was okay, but the, you know,
the show was infinitely better.
But also this, like this case we were just talking about, the fake racist rant. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore County State Attorney Scott Schellenberger said this is the first time his office has prosecuted a case related to artificial intelligence, and it's likely the first criminal case in the country. State lawmakers will need to update criminal statutes to include the new technology next legislative session.
Hmm.
Hey, Alabama legislature, probably not going to get it done this time around, but
no,
that's come amazing.
Up. Wow. I think every state's going to have to deal with that, creating a criminal statute for falsely creating a recording. There's obviously going to have to be something in there for like intent to do harm to someone's... And there's going to be some kinks. There's going to be some gratuitous litigation, because there's going to be people that are trying to be funny and they end up getting sued. But it is something that needs to be addressed. You can't just wreck someone's reputation with impunity. You can't do it.
Now, here's another story from Not the Bee that has to do with AI as well. We might as well go into this because it's in the same vein. Catholic ministry launches, quote-unquote, Father Justin. Oh. AI defrocks him after backlash. What?
Did he not have the proper training?
Here, I'll pull it up on the screen. Would you want to talk to this thing? Introducing Father Justin, the new interactive AI from Catholic Answers. Catholic Answers, the number one lay Catholic apostolate of apologetics and evangelization, that's a mouthful, is excited to announce the release of our new Father Justin interactive AI app.
Nah, they probably should have softened that up a bit. They really wanted that to fly. They really should have softened that up quite a bit.
Yeah, the innovative digital application employs the latest AI tech to provide users with faithful and educational answers to questions about Catholicism. Seekers may also engage in a back-and-forth interaction to pursue further information with the 3D AI character. But it kind of didn't work out for folks. They didn't have bad motives. They're just adding an entertaining 3D model to search, engine to help people search for content on their website.
Father Justin, why does the communion wine make me sleepy?
Wait, next you're going to be saying that, like, 80 million were killed in the Inquisition, all right? Like, I've been hearing that online. I'm like, no, maybe like 4,000 people were killed during the Inquisition. Like, still not great, but the stuff around the Catholic Church, it is... There's a lot of truth. They've been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And they've been run by human beings with a lot of power. So
in the basement,
more public school teachers have been caught having sex with kids than than Catholic priests, just saying.
I do wonder, though, what is actually in the Vatican vaults.
Go to the basements, yeah. Joey.
Well, I mean, they've known about that for a long time, about the level of homosexuality. They actually have a name for it. It's called the Lavender Mafia.
The Lavender
in the Vatican, the Lavender Mafia is fruity priests, and they've been around for centuries.
So,
wow,
it looks like there was a lot of backlash that where people were like, "We don't like this thing; it's creeping us out." So, here's what Catholic Answers, the president of Catholic Answers, came out and said: "We chose the character to convey a quality of knowledge and authority, and also as a sign of the respect that all of us at Catholic Answers hold for our clergy. Many people, however, have voiced concerns about this choice. We hear these concerns, and we do not want the character to distract from the important purpose of the application." So people are upset that it's not actually a priest?
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. Maybe they should have made it Cardinal Justin. I don't know. Archbishop Justin.
Are they upset because it's not a live chat?
Well, because what? You've got a Catholic website. It's like, Justin, he answers.
Yeah, I think they were probably, the concerns were more like, I don't know, you're giving a certain level of authority to this AI character. And obviously, an AI character can't stand in the persona Christi at the moment of consecration, so... No, he's not a priest by definition.
Right. As much as Twitter's a cesspool, I do love it. Don Orca, Catholic Orca on Twitter says, "I will never forgive the no fun crowd for laicizing," or whatever that word
laicizing.
Is. Laicizing Father Justin. Now he smokes pipe tobacco and reads G.K. Chesterton.
Laicizing, by the way, is going from clergy to laity.
It's
a demotion, yeah.
Yeah. We got a few of the cases in this archdiocese here lately.
Yeah, but Catholic Answers is kind of a joke at this point. I followed them for years. Trent Horn used to be... Actually, Jimmy Akin, who's an apologist with them, had a debate just last night with someone who I'm very fond of, and it was just embarrassing. No offense to the Catholic listeners, you just don't have the answers. Protestantism wins every time. Jimmy Akin is a joke. Trent Horn, pretty much a joke. Even though Ben Shapiro has been having Trent Horn on, and he's just he is a bumbling fool. I don't know anything about the president, John Sorensen, but their main apologists that have been doing work for the past several decades, they're just very lackluster.
What do you think of somebody, because he's really renowned, like a William Lane Craig?
I am not a fan of his apologetic methodology, specifically because he will typically argue from the perspective of like a general theism.
Right.
As opposed to a very specific monotheism.
Right.
And I think that that's where you have to go to. Light years apart, the two premises, one premise being that there is a God, and then the premise being that this carpenter that lived 2,000 years ago was his son. Right. Those are light years apart, and you kind of, if you're going to claim one, you have to stake your claim on that one.
Because you have theistic notion, Socrates is kind of...
Yeah, exactly. Really. And you could even say that Socrates was a monotheist.
Right.
You could make that argument. But there's no specificity to it. It's very omnibus and whatever. And so if you don't go through this, the general proofs for a creative force or whatever, you still have all your work ahead of you. And I think Hitchens made that point pretty clearly in most of his debates when people would argue for a general theism. He's like, no, you're a Christian, but you're arguing for a general idea of a God, and that's inconsistent. You're a Christian, argue as a Christian.
Right.
Argue for your premise. And William Lane Craig also just had some really bad theology that I dislike. I mean, I'm not casting him out of the kingdom by any stretch of the imagination, but I think his apologetic methodology leaves much to be desired. He has a lot of money behind him. That's why he's able to debate the big wigs. That's like Sam Harris, for instance. It costs, I think, $50,000 to schedule a debate with him. Most of your good apologists don't have that kind of cash floating around, but he has a lot of money behind him. And obviously there was Robbie Zacharias back in the day, and that went very poorly.
Yeah, I watched one, Alex O'Connor. He's now kind of a well-known atheist, still remains that way.
But is he cosmic skeptic? Is that his?
Yeah. And he's now got his own Alex O'Connor YouTube page. And to give credit to Alex, I think he did get PhDs in theology. Like, he's not coming out of ignorance of
the best. He's the best the other side has to offer.
And so I watched William Lane Craig defend the Canaanite slaughter with divine command theory on that. So it got a little more in the actual Christian slipstream. And honestly, I wasn't really impressed by the argument.
What was the argument?
It's pretty basic logic where if divine command theory is true and God commands Israelites to do these things, then you must do what God says, even if it suspends the normal rules of morality.
Yeah.
And so, but the question Alex kept coming back to in my own head, I'm like, so how do you know when God commanded it? And he's like, well, in the Bible we know. And he's like, well, okay, but today, how would you know? How would you know you have permission to do something like that?
The time frame would be something that's different, because there are times where there was in human history where there was direct communication between God and his creation, and now that communication audible. Now that communication comes through the assembled word of God that we have there, and therefore you have principles that you have to apply to whatever. So obviously there are times where it would be appropriate for a Christian to engage in slaughter. Like, that's what warfare is,
right?
And war is a necessary part of human existence. You would say, hey, is this consistent with the revelation of God? Is this slaughter consistent with the revelation of God? Let's say there was a Christian nation and they had to engage in warfare. Well, I don't care what any of the, you know, Quaker pacifists had to say. It's unrealistic to think that you can live in a world without violence. And Christians have always, not always, but have developed a decent theology of violence. And I think it has to be approached from that side. The argument for the Canaanite slaughter it's very simple. It's like, okay, you're saying it's wrong. Says who?
Right.
That's where we go to.
But I found William Lane Craig's response is, well, now, Alex, you're going into epistemological questions, but the basic logic follows.
That has no epistemological structure.
Say the question, how would you know if God was actually commanding this in the here and now today?
Yeah.
And he's like, you're moving it to how will we know this in a particular time, but the basic logic that I'm laying out there means, well, Divine command theory, I'm not sure if I'm sold on that.
I'm honestly not familiar with the term, but the fact is I would be in general agreement. Yeah, if God, if the creator of the universe, who commands judgment on a people through their slaughter and commands a certain people to engage in that slaughter, then that is of necessity a good thing. Not that the thing itself is good, but it is good that it be done.
Right.
And likewise, there are times where, God, funnily enough, in Isaiah 10, it's where the Assyrians, he's judging his own people, the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends the king of Assyria to harm and to slaughter his people. And then he punishes the king of Assyria for doing just that because he did it from a sinful heart. He did it out of a prideful and sinful heart. So it goes back to who is God and who is man. God, he does as he pleases in the heavens and the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou?
And I got in a little bit with somebody bringing up the Old Testament. I'm like, this is also important. Well, you need to read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Watch, you know, there are many different lessons being brought forth.
Yeah.
Many different revelations. And so if you just cherry pick one, and you're probably not doing it the right way.
Well, and one final thing on that is most people will see the harshness of, say, the slaughter of the Amalekites,
mm-hmm.
and they'll always focus on the horrificness of that slaughter, and it is horrific,
mm-hmm.
but they never once contemplate what does that mean about the nature of God and what does that mean about the nature of sin. How bad is single or corporate sin? How bad is that actually, and what type of punishment does that demand from a righteous and a just God? Most people don't take that. Well, if God is who he says that he is, then there's probably a good reason for what he's doing, consistent with his nature and character. And most people don't make that leap. They're just like, oh, big sky daddy bad, he killed people.
Right. Well, and there are also, I think Alex O'Connor and William Lane Craig had a conversation about the historical Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and it was actually pretty fascinating.
I think O'Connor's pretty settled on the historicity of Jesus.
Right. I mean, I think it is pretty settled.
Yeah, it is pretty settled.
Like, well, you know, I guess you could say, well, we can't really prove if Socrates existed, but yeah. I think he did. Like, I mean, if we're going to do ancient history...
Yeah,
you're talking about primary sources around the same time.
We know it as much as we can know anything from that period.
Right, and it is an interesting time in that regard where there's more conversations like this happening online than ever before.
And the atheists are softening up, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Even Dawkins, his whole cultural Christian thing that he went on the other day. It's like, dude, this is Richard Dawkins of all people.
Right. I saw that, and some of the I've been really impressed with Stephen Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to. I've seen him debate people, but Berlinski, who remains a secular Jew, but Berlinski's books, The Devil's Delusion, yeah. and a lot of stuff he's done on Darwinism, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, Berlinski is brilliant. If you see the conversation that he had with homeboy from the Hoover Institution, Peter Robinson. He sits down with Berlinski, Meyer, and another gentleman who is forsaken Darwinian. He's a secularist, but he's forsaken Darwinian theory. I have to send it to you. It's absolutely
fascinating.
Oh yeah, you have it. Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating because you're seeing Meyer, who is a Christian, although he has some funkiness in and of himself, same as William Lane Craig. But they all can agree that the pervasiveness of the Darwinian theory has kind of been shoehorned into the scientific community, and it doesn't really match up with evidence that's continuing to come up, especially DNA evidence.
Well, Berlinski noticed that very early on, it was actually the people getting into information technology, like computer coding, and they realized, oh, wait, we have a code here with DNA. And you ask anybody in computer code, could you randomly have changes in that code and the code still work, or would it just absolutely fall apart?
Yeah.
And so it comes down to the claim that this is irreducibly complex. There's not enough time.
Yeah.
And random selection would not allow for workable DNA structures and proteins and whatnot.
Because it has no predictive ability. Because any of the internal mechanism cannot predict the outcome of a change of, say, one particular protein in a strand of DNA, where if you change or adjust the wrong protein, it is a catastrophic failure of the organism altogether. And those changes, theoretically, would be happening with posterity in every generation, at least to some extent. So we don't see complete, total failures of complete of organisms happening right. just because of this. Then nobody would survive. It's that intricate, and it's like you have a 10,000 mile long strand of beads, and you have to randomly, if you pick the wrong bead out and put another bead in, the entire system fails.
Right.
And you're supposed to do that randomly, and it's supposed to have some sort of predictive power, and it's like mathematically it's impossible.
Well, and you know, I think Berlinski says it's not that Darwinism is just completely wrong. Like, adaptation is a pretty useful...
It's observable. That's observable.
It's a useful idea, but it's incomplete, very incomplete. It does not answer even some of the deepest questions, and also some of the actual evidence in the fossil record. And so there's...
The Cambrian explosion is just weird. It's right. just weird, and it doesn't make sense in from a Darwinian perspective. And obviously, you still have all your work ahead of you when it comes to the origins.
Right.
And I think that's where obviously the general theists have the strongest point.
So you aren't a proponent of like panspermia, like this came from a alien species
that injected
the earth?
I find the whole...
Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
No, you guys are doing good. You guys are doing real good.
Roger's probably going to call back.
I like grilled spermia. I'm not a panspermia guy.
Yeah, could y'all just sign language this and let Eddie talk about silly things? And we have to hit this break. I'm going to have Michael Cohen on the other side. But first, this part of the program brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. And they're at Alabama Home Mortgage, Kim Williams and Madeline Cannon. Well, they can help you with buying a home, especially if you're a first-time home buyer. That pre-approval, I'll just put it this way, Eddie. Not all pre-approvals are made equal.
Not at all. Not at all.
So if you want a superior pre-approval, one that, a potential seller is like, oh, wait, you worked with Alabama Home Mortgage?
Right.
They're going to be like, yeah, okay, we know this person's solid.
They know they're a good local company.
And then Kim and Madeline will walk you through that home buying process all the way to closing day. Or it could be you're looking to refinance, unload that credit card debt off your back. Or it could be you want to reinvest in your property. Yep. If you have equity built up in your home, these are great ways to put yourself in a better position to accomplish your goals. And I can't think of anybody better than these great local folks who will actually get to know you, like Kim and Madeline there at Alabama Home Mortgage. So give them a call today, 567-4223, and that's 567-4223. You can visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. Let Kim and Madeline prove that to you today. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Weather is brought to you by the Johnny Adams Law Firm.
I'm Johnny Adams, your Alabama personal injury attorney with the Johnny Adams Law Firm. Stay weather alert all day long with the Rich Thomas Weather Network.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The last weekend of April will go down in the books as a really nice one here in central Alabama. Tonight, very mild, cloudy at times. Overnight low temperature down to about 65. Tomorrow and Sunday, a great weekend forecast. Lots of sunshine. There'll be some high clouds mixed in at times. Nice and warm, mid-80s here in central Alabama. 70s down on the coast. 60s at night. And still warm Monday with a high around 86. Good bit of sunshine with the risk of widely scattered storms arriving on Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More, Hunter Lane, across from Del Rey to Publix.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group. Have you ever considered turning your home into a rental and build wealth at the same time? People throughout the River region are doing that right now. By investing wisely in the right property or turning your current home into a rental is the secret. Hiring a property manager to professionally manage your property is the way to prosperity. Our company does all of the advertising, personally showing prospective tenants, does a thorough background check and credit report before moving forward. Over 15 critical services are provided to our clients in protecting the asset, but also providing the best residence in your home possible. Collecting rent on time and frequent inspections help landlords feel better about renting their house, and to provide clean, well-kept homes that anybody would be proud to call home. For a complete list of property management services, call Bo Goodson at the Goodson Group at 221-2883 or 551-0225.
The Harriet 2 offers the finest entertainment in Montgomery with cruises on the Alabama River each weekend. Start your weekend with the Friday night family dinner cruise. Enjoy a delicious meal with dessert and cocktails as you dance to the live entertainment. Saturday, take in the scenic sunset cruise with stunning views and more entertainment. End your weekend with the blues cruise Sunday evening. Relax and listen to the sounds of local jazz artists as you sip on craft cocktails. Book your cruise on the Harriet 2 today at funinmontgomery.com.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Your moment has arrived. It's time to shed the normal day-to-day version of yourself and let your most fabulous self loose. Make your way to Wind Creek Atmore, because whatever your idea of fabulous is, this is where you'll find it. Wind Creek Atmore. It's your kind of fabulous. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
To the phones and talk to Michael Cohen of Cohen's Electronics and Appliances. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right. Been a good week so far. Been a good week there at Cohen's?
It's been wonderful. I see you have your little helper today.
My little helper? That's one word for him.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Appreciate you missing me while I'm not here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not everybody just gets to lay out like you do.
This is true.
We're all jealous. No.
Actually, Michael, to be honest, I was hanging a TV I'd bought from you. Finally hung the TV in this room that we bought for you right around Christmas time.
Fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yes. So I feel like I have a legitimate excuse.
Yeah.
Now, next time, maybe not so much, but this time for sure.
Now, I think you need to, Eddie, up your sound game next.
You know, I thought about that, Joey, because I used to have the Bose system, but the new TV we bought 2 years ago does not go with the Bose system anymore. And I like the idea of like a wireless sound bar, that type thing.
So you have a solution like that, Michael?
We need to get you a nice Sonos system.
That's what I'd like to really come in there and look at that. Because I like the idea of wireless. I'm too old to bend over and run wires through attics or through the floor and stuff like that anymore.
It's a good policy. Don't bend over anymore.
And the cool thing about the sound bars from Sonos is you hook them up to the ARC on the back of the television, mm-hmm. and it's like everything just automatically happens.
See, that's what I need.
Oh, wow.
That's what I need in my life.
Yeah, third grade level. It works great.
That's what I need. Any kind of electronics like that, I need easy peasy.
And these sorts of, the new tech allows you to have that surround feel, right, with less speakers.
Well, that's right. I mean, the big bar that Sonos makes kind of envelops the front half of the room. To me, it's kind of like a little horseshoe of what it gives you. And if you add the rear speakers, then you've taken care of the rest of the room. You add some subwoofers. You can, on the big one, you can actually add two subwoofers.
Ooh, nice.
To give you all the bass that you want.
Well, I like that bass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the beauty is that you hook up the sound bar with an HDMI cable to the television, and everything else just plugs into the wall, and you set it up on the app. And then once you get it set up, not only can you listen to all of your favorite TV shows with better sound, but you can also, through the app, you can go to all these different streaming services. Some of them are free, some of them you have to subscribe to, but you can listen to virtually any radio.